Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 6, 9 to 13 from the NIV version. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Isabel. Thanks, worship team. Thanks to all of you who are at home worshiping with us this morning. Continue on with our sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. We're learning as Jesus teaches us to pray. Lord, let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are here in our lives by your Spirit this morning. We thank you that you're the one who draws us into worship, draws us to know who you are, helps us to believe. You're the one who enables us to live this life with hope and purpose. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to pray this morning as we continue on learning from Jesus this morning. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Well, it's hard to fathom what's going on in the world at this moment, isn't it? I find watching the news these days to be like an assault on my senses. Ben tells me off, or tells me to turn off the TV as he sees my blood pressure rising as I watch it. But you know, I can't seem to press the off button. It's like watching a train smash. You know, it's horrible and I want to look away, but I just can't. I can't seem to take my eyes off it. Do you ever feel that way about the world in which we live and wonder where we are really heading? I feel like wearing a badge like people did on the movie The Truman Show, for those of you who have seen it, with Jim Carrey. And it's got that question on it, how's it going to end? With the global pandemic raging on, climate change seeming to cause more frequent and harsher natural disasters, many of us are sitting really on the edge of our seats asking that same question, how's it going to end? Fortunately, the Bible tells us clearly how it's going to end. And although many of you might feel that you're scripted into a scene of a disaster movie right now with everything that's going on, the Apostle Paul tells us in Revelation 11:15 that it's not going to end with a bang and it's not going to end with a whimper, but the kingdom of this world, it's going to end with the kingdom of this world becoming the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever. Praise the Lord. Usually I hate it when someone tells me the ending of a book or a movie, but when it comes to life right now, I'm really, really happy for the spoiler that John gives there in Revelation. Everyone, in fact, is longing for a different world. It's not just Christians. It's actually the way humans are wired. It's why people get onto rickety boats and flee the countries of their birth. It's why people do that. It's why even the Taliban right now are racing across Afghanistan, because they long for a different world. It might not be the world that you and I are looking for, but they're longing for a different world. It's also why people from different walks of life join political and social protest movements, because they're longing for a different world. They're longing for more than they have. And they're mourning, actually, something which they know subconsciously that they've lost. Whatever social or political movement you can name, they're all ultimately longing for the same thing. Whether they are past movements such as the movement for the abolition of slavery or the civil rights movement, or more frequent movements like the protest movements against war or oppressive governments such as in Myanmar and what's going on in Hong Kong, to the more recent movements like the Me Too movement or Black Lives Matter movement or the Extinction Rebellion, which we've seen on the news this week, even in Canberra, as people are protesting about the need for climate action due to climate change. I even shudder to mention it this morning because these people make me so angry. But even the anti-lockdown protesters have the same deep longing for a different world. All these protests are cries of people who are not happy with the way things are, or the way they think things should be, and what they long for is a world to be different. You might be one of the quiet majority, like me, sitting at home, while others are out on the street with their placards. Even though you might not agree with their method of protest at this time, or perhaps not even what they're specifically on about, I believe that each one of us have a similar longing for a different world. Today we're going to learn how to turn our longings for a different world into reality. And Jesus teaches us how to do this in this next section of the Lord's Prayer. In many ways, the Lord's Prayer has become too familiar to us, so much so that we can sort of rattle it off without even thinking about what really Jesus is asking us to pray about. The Lord's Prayer was never meant to be a prayer giving people serenity, or it was never meant to be just framed and stuck on your mantelpiece. It's a prayer that's meant to be prayed by revolutionaries who have a longing for a different world. It's actually not a prayer about the end of the world. It's a prayer that seeks a different world at this very moment in time, and also for our eternal future. You see, when Jesus tells us to petition God in the Lord's Prayer, saying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," he's telling us to seek change in the world around us and also in our lives. We're to petition God and ask him to reshape every human heart so that God is obeyed and glorified by people all over the earth, as the angels already are doing in heaven. And the reason we are called to pray is because actually only God can bring about the different world that all of us are longing for. Many of you may have heard the term kingdom of God before, but you might not know exactly what it means. It's important to clear up what the kingdom of God is not. It's not a political system in which Christians rule the world and make people follow their laws. It's also not heaven, and that something you only get when you die. And we know this because Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God while he was on earth, and he said things like, "It's near," and it's in our midst, or "It starts like a small seed and it grows." Graham Goldsworthy, a Hebrew scholar, has a really helpful definition of the kingdom of God, and he says it's three things together. He says it's God's people in God's place under God's rule and blessing. The term kingdom of God is actually only found in the New Testament. But it might come as a surprise to you that actually we've already seen the kingdom of God here on earth. And or at least you've read about it, hopefully. You see, our ancestors, Adam and Eve, experienced the kingdom of God in the Garden of Eden. And this is why humanity still has this deep longing within us, in our hearts, for it. Though many of people can't quite identify what they're actually really longing for. All the elements of the kingdom of God were there in the Garden of Eden. You see, God's people, Adam and Eve, lived in God's place, the Garden of Eden, under God's rule and blessing. In the first two chapters of Genesis, we read that God created a garden and he planted every kind of tree in it that was pleasing to look at and also good for food. And this garden was nourished by God. He placed rivers in there and he gave Adam and Eve laws on how to live, how to care for themselves and how to care for the garden that when followed would result in them experiencing great blessing. And from that they would know purpose and freedom and community and relationship and peace and plentifulness of food and even sexual pleasure. They're essentially living in the kingdom of God. And all the elements of life that people are longing for today were there in the Garden of Eden. But because Adam and Eve were disobedient, thinking that they knew best, they tried to have all that God had provided for them, but without God ruling and reigning in their lives. And the result of the decision, their decision, is the world that we live in today, the world that we find ourselves in at this very moment in history. There are many ways that people try to re-establish what we lost in the Garden of Eden. Some have believed that we can again be in the kingdom of God if we re-establish God's moral laws and in society and make people follow them, which is what the Taliban want to do in Afghanistan. Some people believe that establishing laws in society based on scripture would in a sense bring about God's kingdom on earth. But we know that that plan doesn't work because it alters external behavior, but then only sometimes. It brings no lasting or real change to people's hearts and lives. Others have taken a different route via political or social action, and they stand against things which seem to be anti-human, such as slavery or child labour or exploitation, racism or any form of exploitation, more recently sexism, climate action and so forth. Protest and action against these activities and attitudes is not unimportant. It is important. In fact, all people should be concerned about these things. The problem is that being concerned only with a single issue or with a few of those issues doesn't go far enough. You see, it's not radical enough for the revolution that Jesus has in mind for the kind of world that he's wanting to establish. Can you imagine telling those people, those protesters out there in the Black Lives Matter movement or whatever movement we've seen, that they're not radical enough? And this is what Jesus is telling us here, is they're not radical enough. See, we've got to remember the context in which Jesus is teaching the Lord's Prayer here in Matthew. He's just been teaching a Sermon on the Mount about the right attitudes and behaviours that people who follow him are meant to have, and it's really radical stuff. He's been talking about the need to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, and he stated that calling someone a fool is equivalent to murdering them. and that lust is equivalent to adultery, and that divorce is a serious business, and that we shouldn't swear oaths because we really don't have the power to pull anything off. And that we're to offer radical forgiveness instead of payback. And that we're to offer our left cheek to those who have slapped the right one. And much, much more. So this tells us that the prayer for the coming of the kingdom of God is not about a particular place or even a place that's governed politically with religious laws or even just heaven when we die. The kingdom of God is God's people in God's place, under God's rule and blessing, wherever that is. This means that you are in the kingdom of God when these elements are present in your life, and the only way that it comes about is by asking God to bring it and to ask Him to make our lives conform to His will. This means that the kingdom of God doesn't start with political action or social action or even religious action and change. It doesn't start with outward conformity to laws and regulations, whether they're religious laws or social reforms or whatever social or political agenda you have that you think will bring about a different world. It doesn't start there. It starts with a radical revolution of the human heart through an encounter with Jesus the King, because only when the heart is changed can we really do what pleases God. The prophets talked of the need for internal change rather than external compliance. Jeremiah says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I'll put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God and they shall be my people." Ezekiel says, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." If the kingdom of God is God's people in God's place under God's rule and blessing, then it also means that we can't make it happen ourselves, which is what we've been trying to do ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden. The only way the kingdom of God is established is if God brings it and we submit to His will and to Him changing our hearts. Key word in there, submission to God's will and to Him changing our hearts. This tells us something very important about how prayer works and how change happens, because prayer works in several ways at the same time. First, when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," it means it's meant to orientate us to God's agenda. And and doing this confronts our own agendas, doesn't it? It confronts us about our own desires for our own kingdoms and our own wills that we want to be done. And it's meant to confront us. If nothing else, this pandemic should be teaching us that we're not really in control of things as much as we think we are. If you haven't picked up on that, then think about other things that are happening that are out of our control, like icebergs cracking off in Antarctica or the hottest day ever recorded in Europe occurring this week in Italy, or the 38 degree Celsius that hits a Siberian town this year that's more known for permafrost than searing ice melting heat. All of these things are out of our control. When we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," we're telling God that we forfeit our personal claims to lordship and sovereignty of our own lives. When we do this prayer, in a sense, it becomes your resignation prayer. You know, you might have written a resignation letter Well, this is your resignation prayer. It's a statement of your desire for God to rule and reign in your life as he should. And no longer you to reign or anyone else to reign there. And therefore, it's not a prayer that you should be praying flippantly. It's not a prayer that you should just rattle off without thinking it through. On another level, when you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, you are participating in a subversive act. God's kingdom coming and his will being done is not just resigning yourself to the fact that you are not in control of the world. It's not a I give up prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, you are petitioning God to do something. You are asking God to overthrow all other kingdoms in your life and in the world, whether they're from people or from satanic origins. You see, we haven't got to the state we're in without a reason. Just like the coronavirus can be traced back to an exposure site, so too our current problem can be traced all the way back to it, to its first exposure site in the Garden of Eden. And unless we accept the spiritual dimension to what is going on in the world, we will continue to try solving the problems of our longings with external things that never will fully work. But there's still another thing going on when we pray this prayer. You see, it's not just a prayer for high-level change, which is the problem of many protest movements. Plenty of people participate in marches and protests calling for changes in laws and rules and structures at a government level. But not many people are willing or able or prepared to apply those changes to their lives personally. No protest movement makes much difference in the world without real change in the protesters at a heart level and also at a fundamental action level. And part of our problem with the Lord's Prayer then is this ongoing familiarity with it. You see, we can pray it from memory, but without intent, without seeking God to impact us with it, and consequently, when we do this, it just falls flat on the ground and has no power and effect to change us or even convince God that we're seeking the change that we want him to bring. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're petitioning God to reshape the heart of every single person, including ourselves, in such a way that God is obeyed and glorified by people on earth in the same way the angels do in heaven. But this prayer is not meant to stop and rest in the human heart. It's not about just huddling at home and praying your kingdom come. It's about being changed by God so that our lives reflect who Jesus is to the world around us. And when this happens, people begin to see the kingdom of God breaking in us. By praying this prayer, we're asking God to make his people in the places that he puts us, living under his rule and blessing. It's meant to bring about a tangible change in us that the world can actually see and experience. This means we're meant to be interested and active in the problems of the world, such as climate change and climate action. We're meant to be concerned about racism and sexism, inequality and injustice, because all these things are elements of the kingdom of darkness that people live in outside of a relationship with Jesus. The prophet Micah told us what the Lord says is good and what he requires of us. It is to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. But activism without a change of the human heart will not enable us to get what we really long for and need, and prayer without attention to the injustices and brokenness of the world is also not pleasing to God and will be ineffective as well. The kingdom of God only comes and breaks in around us when God's people seek God and God's will to be working out in their lives. Only then will we be God's people in God's place, living under God's rule and experiencing His blessing. We'll become salt and light to the community we live amongst. And then, in this relationship of complete surrender and trust, the people around us will experience, they'll experience the blessing of the kingdom. And they will begin to long for that themselves. You see it how it's happening? Do you realize now what it is that you have really been longing for, and that everything you are striving for and seeking to grasp for are really symptoms of a deeper longing for life in the kingdom of God, in relationship with Jesus the King? Today, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But not just to petition God for what you want Him to do in the wider world. It's also a call here for you to petition Him to align yourself with God's agenda for the world. Are you willing to pray that prayer this morning? It's asking Him to rule and reign not just on earth, but also in your life. Every day, every place you go, and in all that you do. Jesus knew this firsthand in the Garden of Gethsemane, another garden. One night, or on the night before His crucifixion, he prayed and asked that the situation that was before Him, that it would change, that it would be removed. But at the same time, he told God that he completely trusted in Him and in what was going to happen, and that God's will should be done. And because of that, we can have peace with God ourselves. What about you today? Jesus invites you to pray and to submit to God's will for your life. Today, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer and to treat it as a resignation prayer, in which you tell God that you are resigning from the job of trying to rule your own life. And in place, you are asking that His will be done in all areas of your life as it is by the angels in heaven. But this prayer isn't just a prayer for individuals, is it? It's also a prayer that I believe we need to pray as a community. It's a call for us to become more serious about praying for God's rule and reign to be real and tangible and evident in our lives corporately, together, so that the wider community see and experience the breaking in of God's kingdom through the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and in the way that we care for one another, and through the injustices that we stand against, and how we care for our planet. We have a good story to tell, and we even know the ending of it. This is very relevant for a world that is currently wondering how it's going to end. But to tell the story of what God is doing in the world, we can't just stay in a prayer meeting or in a Bible study. We need to be active in prayer, asking God to lead us into the world, showing us how we are to participate as His kingdom people, seeking his kingdom to come where we are. And so I want to encourage you to pray with me to ask God to show us how we should do that together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this teaching today that Jesus gives us. We thank you that this is your will, that we would come to be people who seek your kingdom, seek to live under your rule and reign, and that your will would be done in our lives. We pray that you would help us to be kingdom people, people who know the King, who live for the King, who submit our lives to the King in all ways. Lord, it's hard to do that in our own strength, but we know that through the power of your Holy Spirit, we can do all these things. So I pray that you would be at work in each one of us, challenging us, calling us, helping us to make the decisions and to know the way forward in our lives, together and individually. And I pray this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.